Well, joining me today is Kip Thom. He's the former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations Agencies for Food and Agriculture. He served in that capacity under President Trump's first term in office. He's also a farmer in Indiana based out of Kosciuszko County in the northern part of the state. And first of all, Ambassador Thom, I want to talk about Trump's election victory. Not only did he win big in Indiana, your home state and my home state, but he also carried Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. No doubt a great deal of that support coming from farmers and those living in rural communities. Republicans will also have control of the U.S. Senate beginning here in January. What are those main ag policy priorities that President Trump and Republicans both share as they're looking forward to working together here in 2025?
Well, I think first we need to realize that the American people submitted a mandate on Tuesday for change. They know under President Trump and his prior administration, we had a strong ag economy. Our trade was doing well. We were seeing reasonable regulations and not the burdensome ones we have today. They knew that inflation wasn't nearly as great as it is today. And the consumers, the people we sell our products to, weren't experiencing nearly 30% food price inflation. So I think that mandate holds in place. And I look forward to what President Trump can deliver over the next 4 years and the people he surrounds himself with. But one thing for certain, and that is nearly 75% of rural America, farmers and ranchers, those involved in food systems, those living in our rural communities, supported Donald J. Trump as the president of the United States. He knows that. We continue to remind him of that. And I feel strongly that President Trump wants to see and support a strong ag economy in rural America.
In talking about some of those ag policy priorities for 2025, one of which is tax relief for farmers and ranchers, especially preserving the 2017 tax reforms, which are set to expire here this next year. And I'm sure that's something that Trump and Senate Republicans and no doubt House Republicans will try to push and pass here this next year as well.
You know, we know that the OMB has came out and they've made the statements if Trump's tax provisions established back in 2017 continues on, it could cost the U.S. Nearly between $8 and $10 trillion. The reality is that if we can instill those or make them somewhat permanent, I think at the same time that allows us in the agriculture sector, those in small businesses and other businesses around the country to reinvest capital, hire people, pay better wages. You know, I think that they'll see that revenue come in other means. So I feel very confident from comments that's been made that President Trump and his administration will continue those tax policies. If you want to damage U.S. agriculture, the Harris administration, the tax proposals that they were bringing forward to have us be submitted to, whether it was a reduction in that from $24-25 million down to $6-7 million for a couple, loss of the stepped up in basis, maybe the unrealized capital gains taxes, increasing in capital gains, movement higher of our corporate tax rate. That does nothing but offshore businesses. But in terms of agriculture, it could be the most devastating impact to U.S. agriculture and the family farm that we would ever see. The president knows, he's well aware. Obviously, he put these taxes in place in 2017. We certainly hope that they continue to go forward and that we can continue to see the American family farm thrive.
Ambassador Thom, the previous farm bill expired at the end of September. There are concerns that a new farm bill won't be passed before January 1st during this lame duck session of Congress. I'm kind of curious what your thoughts are on the farm bill. Does Congress pass a new one this year, or should lawmakers wait until the new session of Congress is sworn in here in 2025?
Yeah, there's been a lot of speculation. You know, I've heard a number of past you know, deputies and others involved in USDA make comments that we would have a tax bill this year. The reality is it's not going to happen this year. I don't know if it's going to happen early next year. Right now, you know, Debbie Stabenow over in the Senate, obviously we're taking back control of the Senate. Senator Bozeman will be over there on that Senate Ag Committee leading that. There's no doubt. I think he'll push forward to try to get that bill done. I know there's some other potential relief plans being discussed at the moment to go out to farmers to help them fill that gap between now and that time frame and to deal with this year's low commodity prices. But a farm bill is what we need to have. But we need to make sure that it's structured properly. Listen, we all know that Farm Bill is 83% food assistance and about 17% actual agriculture. We need to make sure we put more farm back into that Farm Bill. And whether it's in a form of crop insurance, supporting that to a better degree, making sure it's more durable, more reliable for the farmers like ours that buy that crop insurance, we've got to have that. So this is why I say let's put more farm back into the Farm Bill and let's make sure we clean up the food assistance programs that take place in our country today.
Talking with Ambassador Kip Thom here on Hoosier Ag Today. Ambassador Thom, even though a great number of farmers and those in the ag sector have told me personally they supported Trump and are very optimistic about the future of the ag economy under the Trump administration, a number of them have still expressed concerns about tariffs and ag trade under his administration. What message do you have for those farmers and ag professionals who have those concerns when Trump takes office?
Hey, I know firsthand as a farmer, looking at balance sheets, looking at a check that comes in for a quantity of corn or soybeans. And, you know, so I feel it firsthand. I know what it's like. And, you know, I think it's really easy to say, wow, tariffs are really going to impact us. What happened under Trump in his first term? You know, everybody was concerned about tariffs. He ended up doing 50 trade deals, some more with Mexico and Canada, Japan, more other countries in Southeast Asia. We got a phase one with China done, which they were agreeing to purchase nearly $80 billion worth of U.S. Food and ag products. Now, they didn't get there, but I think if Trump would have been in there and got phase two and phase three, we might have got there. But the thing is, he's about the deal. He loves deals. And tariffs might be, some of the initial tariffs might be the means to an ends. But I know that he understands the ag economy. He understands 75% of the people that he would impact if he puts strict tariffs on are going to be impacted negatively. So I you know, he understands rural America. Now, as we look at those tariffs, let's understand something. Let's take the example of China. We're importing nearly $500 billion worth of goods and products from China. They're only buying $350 billion from us. What's fair about that? So I believe we really need to work hard to make sure that we have more of a balanced trade with countries like China. If they want to keep up their $500 billion in sales to us, well, they need to be buying more ag commodities. So I think Trump is a world-class negotiator, and I'm confident that he'll support the U.S. agriculture economy.
What overall message do you have for farmers and ag professionals as we certainly see a significant shift in ag policy priorities once Trump returns to the Oval Office and once Republicans take over the Senate?
Well, just like we said earlier, we talked about trade. We went from nearly a $37 billion surplus in the early days of Trump to now we're projecting a $42 billion deficit in our food and ag trade. We know that farmers' incomes are off nearly 40% from 2022 to 2024. We know that regulations have grown by almost $1.67 trillion, and that's highly inflationary because when those regulations come into place or new taxes, that all gets handed back to the consumers or those of us in a space where we take the prices that we're given for our products. So I think those are three key areas that's got to get under control. I think Trump's going to focus on those. Inflation, there's no question when I go buy a tractor or I go buy a crop chemistry or fertilizer, whatever it may be on my farm, we're infected by that high price of inflation. And the other area I'd want to touch on is it is high time we bring back our supply chains, the United States, to our friends and allies. And I'm talking about fertilizer. I'm talking about crop care products. We import nearly 70% of the crop care products that we use in our farms and ranches across the United States from global sources. And one of those is an adversary. That's China. And we need to realize that all they got to do is hit the kill switch and what happens to U.S. agriculture, whether it's crop care chemistries, whether it's animal vaccines or different products for animals. We need to bring those supply chains back home, and I'm very focused on that. So, and the other element is this, BRICS. We all talk about trade and tariffs, and we see the loss of our some of our international markets today. We got to realize that the BRIC nations are becoming stronger. They're nearly a third of the world, or excuse me, they're a growing part of the world population. They're about 37% of the grain trade, and they want to do everything they can to deal amongst themselves, excluding the United States of America. So we've got some big challenges in front of us. President Trump's aware of them, and we need to make sure we put the right people around him to deal with these this plethora of issues.
One final question for you, Ambassador Tom. I know you're back home in Indiana on the family farm. Are you finished with harvest here this year?
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, we're gonna finish up hopefully on Saturday. So we've had an excellent harvest season. The dry as you like it in the Midwest during harvest season. Yields were a little bit better than expected on corn, soybeans, just a slightly better than expected, but none that are going to break our 2023 yields, but certainly some of the best in the last 10 years for us. So again, the only way that happens is if we continue to allow the flow of innovation from our private sector industries and from our land grant universities to get to our farms to make sure we may remain the most competitive agricultural economy in the world.
Once again, former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Agencies for Food and Agriculture, Ambassador Kip Tom, also busy farming in Indiana in the northern part of the state. And I'll let you go so you can get back to harvesting and take care of business at home. But Ambassador Tom, thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy schedule for joining us here today on Hoosier Ag Today. I certainly appreciate it.
Keep up the great work there at Hoosier Ag Today. We need you.